Welcome to Back to the 80s Radio, the show where we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, the ugly of the greatest decade for a lot of us. Thanks for being with us on another incredible Friday. We made it to another weekend, and as always, a big shout out to you listening through iHeart, Pandora, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and everywhere else that you get your streaming music and podcasts. Now, the time has come, because with us, as he is always, is a man who has had more hair treatments than José Hébert and Paul Mitchell. He is a man that has attended more concerts in Hollywood than the bands that actually played there. Here at Back to the 80s Radio, we just call him the Chang.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and it is so ever beautiful and great of my comrade to mention the good, the bad, and yes, this is Chang, the ugly part of Back to the 80s. Welcome to another rendition of our version of that great, great decade, the 80s. I've been away from my microphone a few days.
Yes, you have.
Let's dig deep into our show.
You know, by the way, Chang, welcome back. From the bottom of our hearts here, you know, we missed you. A little note to say thank you to a few awesome people. You know, last night, Chang, was the tribute concert of the six greatest performers who passed away at age 27. The show at the Troubadour last night was called 27, The Show. The ultimate tribute concert played to a packed house, man, at the Troubadour. A lot smaller than I had envisioned it, with a humongous stage.
It was tinier in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I hear. They portrayed Robert Johnson, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, and Amy Winehouse. And I got to tell you, man, it was amazing. Great performers. The show will be playing coming up at Vacaville Performing Arts Center on June 16th, at the Montgomery Theater in San Jose on the 17th, and at the Montgomery Theater in Fresno on June 24th. Maybe you, my friend Chang, can be in Fresno on the 24th of June. Big thanks to all of our fans who were able to attend, because I know there were many who were there. The show was great. The performers were awesome. Great voices, great talent. And I can't stop here. I have to give a huge thank you to Gina DeFranco, the executive producer of BWAROC.org, the humanitarian rock concert, which will be held in Florida on April 1st, 2023. More information about that. It's going to be at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. If you missed Live Aid 85, now's your chance. A big thank you to Eric Himmel, the co-producer, musical director, and guitarist of the 27 show. Adi Argelazi, who sings as Janis Joplin. And Gabe Masca, who plays as Kurt Cobain. You guys rocked it last night. Stay tuned, because coming up next, only here on Back to the 80s Radio, we have a huge rock star talking with us about the 80s, music, and a lot more.
80s ladies, that's right. Get that AquaNet ready, because get close to those speakers, because we've got one sexy 80s rock star. You are locked and loaded to Back to the 80s.
Hey, some of you remember the 80s vibe, right? Well, it lives loud and proud on Back to the 80s with my pals Toscato and Chang.
This is Back to the 80s Radio. If you just joined us, you've come at a great time, because we've got a fantastic extended segment with a hard rocker who started in the 80s. He's a singer, songwriter, went on tour singing with the Doors in 2010, from albums to movies, concerts, but he is best known as the lead vocalist, Mr. Steelheart himself, Milenko Matijevic. Now, did I say that right?
You did perfect.
You were in the 2001, the movie Rockstar, singing the voice for Mark Wahlberg's character, Chris Izzy Cole.
Correct. Yes, that was the voice in the song We All Die Young. I contributed. That was one of my songs that was on my third album, The Weight record. We recorded it for that movie.
The notes that you reach are just phenomenal. So
yeah.
I love it.
Oh, I like that you like it.
If I'm not mistaken, the band came out, Steelheart, in 1989. Was that the release of Steelheart?
Correct. No, it was originally it was called Red Alert, but we had to change the name because there was a DJ, Red Alert, in New York. So then we scrambled. It's funny, the last minute, the album was done, everything's done. We're sitting there scrambling, coming up with a new name, and we came up with Steelheart. Right at Barney's Beanery here in Los Angeles, actually. Yeah, that was the birth of Steelheart, 1989.
And that first album, Steelheart, sold over 1 million copies. Is there a more precise number?
Yeah, there's a lot more of that worldwide. It's way over 2 million. And probably could have been even more, but we came in a tail end of, you know, the whole rock era, and then grunge took over kind of thing. So yeah. I think if we came in like in 1986 or something, I feel it would be pretty intense. But you know what was beautiful is that there's so many people rediscovering the band now and actually doing cover songs of my songs now that are people that are 20, 21 years old. Who knows? Maybe there's a whole new beginning here, you know?
What's really cool is that you got to do a lot of things between movies and your own projects.
Really interesting. Now, first of all, I don't know if you guys know, I was also the singer for The Doors for a while with Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger.
Yep.
John didn't come out of tour, but I did two major tours, transcending the late Jim Morrison. And, well, Jim passed away at 27 as well, you know?
Wow.
And close to my birthday is November 30th. And I think he passed, what is it, December or something? Or 3rd or 4th or something like that. So, I mean, ironically, I escaped the death of 27. Somehow they spared me because in 1992, after my second album, we were on the road. My manager said, hey, you want to do, we were on the 49th show. And he said, hey, you want to do another show? And we'll make a 50 and then we'll go home and relax for a minute before we go back out. So, yeah, great, let's do it. Went to Denver Arena and we're performing Halloween night. They had these lighting trusses standing up on both sides of the stage, but yeah, they didn't secure the ceiling. You know, I'm rocking out and I barely touched one, man. And it just, I felt it wobbling and I try to get out of the way. And as I'm running, trying to get out of the way, jumping over the monitors, it hit me directly in the back of the head. And I hit the stage face first, broke my nose, my cheekbone, twisted my back, my knee. It was awful. Without a doubt, I should have been dead. And you can watch it actually on YouTube. You can see it. Watch accident.
You were performing Dancing in the Fire, if I'm not mistaken, from the Tangled in Rains album.
That's right. Dancing in the Fire, and the fire definitely burned me.
Jeez.
It was, so, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like I kind of almost went into that, you know, that whole energy space for some reason. And, but, you know, they didn't take me.
Right.
They didn't take me. And I just turned 28, I believe. Literally just turned 28. So I was 27. So maybe that's why it didn't count. Because I didn't, I mean, I was right there.
Yeah, you were spared. And then Steelheart had a new lineup, released the album Wait in 96. And then the album Good to Be Alive in 2008.
It was an insane recovery. I don't even know how I made the weight record. Honestly, it was weird because it's just the accident was it just so prolonged that I lost memory, and then I became fuzzy, and then I was in and out, and I was here, I was there, I was just never present, you know. And it took me years to really recover and kind of put the electrodes back together, you know? And right now I feel good.
When you did the movie, how was the performing? And because that must've been a busy schedule as well. You know, when you're doing anything for movies, that's gotta be grueling for you.
It was intense. I mean, the whole project was pretty intense, but it was amazing. You know, we had a great time doing it. The band was amazing. It was great rehearsing with the guys. It was me, Zach Wilde, Jason Bonham, and Jeff Pilson. I mean, what a band, you know? We had a great time doing it. It was, you know, a lot of ups and downs, drama, normal movie making and, you know, rock stars. It was great. That's all I can say. It was a lot of fun. And I feel we created an amazing album. And everyone hasn't heard all the songs that I sang on that record because there's only three on the actual album.
Yeah.
But I did sing seven and they are pretty damn good. On a good note, the other thing I want to say is that possibly Steel Dragon may actually do some shows in the near future.
Now, that is something I would definitely like to hear more about. Now, jumping over to 2010, when you got together with The Doors, you know, Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger. How was that experience for you on a personal level, being that every rocker on earth knows Jim Morrison? And how was that to be a part of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'll tell you the quick story is that I was looking for a new manager, and then I had lunch with the manager, Tom, and we're talking, and he goes, you know, I manage this band that's, you know, pretty famous. They sold over 80 million records, and we're looking for a new singer, and I think you may be a good candidate. Would you be interested in auditioning? And I was like, well, who's the band? And he said, The Doors. And I was like, wow, okay, sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. Well, sure enough, I came in, I sang one song, two songs, three songs. Ray's like, can you sing another one? Another one. Should we do another one? Hey, can you sing another one? We did another one. I learned like 10 of coming in there, you know? I wanted to make sure I was ready. I didn't leave. It was done. I didn't even leave the place. It's like, you know, would you like to do the tour with us?
Phenomenal.
And it was, you know, I got to tell you, it was in situations like that, like the movie, like, you know, joining a famous, super famous band, legendary band. It's not just a famous band. It's, you know, it's a lot deeper than that.
Sure.
It's, you need to be invited into a space like that. You know, there's so many other elements that are involved, not just money or things. It's got to be the right time. It's got to be the right energy. And then the gods got to go, okay, come on in.
Yeah, and we're talking, this is, the planets have to align in perfect order and just have picked you. This is not coincidence. It's beyond that.
And then you accept, you know. I mean, I had Jim come to me many times when I first was going to, even before I even went out to LA to do an audition. I mean, I had amazing moments with Jim. It was very real, whether I made it up in my head or there's another level of connection. But I'll tell you, one night we were playing Prague in this amazing theater. It was massive theater. And I remember going up to the microphone and something said, speaking to me, say, stop, you know, stop. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just stay here. Stay with me. Stay. And just close your eyes. Feel the music. No, just stop. Wait. You know, and Ray is looking at me. I know he's watching me every night. He's facing me when he's to the waist set, you know. And then it was one moment. It was just, okay, now sing. And then it was, when the music's over, it's just magic. And I know everyone felt it. Everyone felt, that was one of, if you read some of the reviews, that was one of the most powerful, tours that I've done.
Right.
It was really intense. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
Well,
thank you.
Because there was something more. There was a spiritual aspect to it. One of the things that we talk a lot about, we do recognize music today. We do recognize that there are a lot of wonderful musicians. However, we also do recognize that music, when it started, whether you're talking about the Doors to the Rolling Stones to any bands in the 80s, because it was a first of their kind for us back then, it left a certain mark and a footprint in our soul. And that's something that I just... You know, it's like one of those athletes that comes around once every 20 to 30 years. And the same thing with music. We had it so good back then.
I agree with you. What I think is that, first of all, I don't think there's enough of people teaching the younger generation, you know, or directing them, let's say that, guiding them. That's the word. Back in the day, and still today, that's the way I write. I write from life experiences, you know, bands like all those bands in those days, they couldn't make a record because they didn't live enough. You got to live in order to make certain style of songs, you know, to touch the hearts of millions and millions. You got to live it. The one band that I feel has been gifted beyond, I don't know how many gods or spirits were around these characters, were the Beatles, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were able to write things in such layman terms that were genius. I mean, it's like so simple, so well said, you know, where it would connect with everybody. today, it's a lot of confusion. You know, the kids and everyone, it's a crazy world. I mean, everything's a free download. Let me get this free and let me do this. Let me grab this. Where is the life experience? Where is the moment of, where's that moment when, you know, back in the day you hear a song, the song helped you through your day, helped you if you were like suicidal, helped you if you were on drugs, helped you if you're, you know, an alcoholic, or helped you just give you love when you were with your first girlfriend, the backseat of a car. It was just moments of music that were just, I guess I would say it was a deeper level of connection, you know?
Yeah.
Now a lot of the music, I'm not saying today, there's some wonderful, amazing artists today as well. A lot of it's just made a little too quickly, you know, let's bang it out. Let's do this is what's happening. Let's put a little bit of this. Let's put it that. Let's a little bit of this. All right, there it is. Like, and how long does that last? Will you be, is it for today and is it for tomorrow?
Yeah. One of the things that we've lost, and we talk about this all the time here, is the experience of it all. Because we all remember what it was when you heard for the very first time a song that we fell in love with, and then we had to go to the record shop or our nearest music store and look for it. And when we, you know, you're there searching, and when you found it, it was like gold, and you looked at the back, at the covers, and you purchased it, and it was listening from song one to song 13, 14, or 15, or whatever amount of songs, and it became an experience.
You're on a journey.
Yeah, and unfortunately, today we have a lot of, you know, you pick and choose and you just create a playlist and then you don't go outside of that and you miss out on the entire heart of the performer, the artist, which is the reason why he recorded that to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, it's also the artwork. There's so much involved, you know, but first of all, writing the song and then the experience of leaving where you live. You know, if you're in, let's say, New York, a lot of people would, like, including myself, I wouldn't want to make a record there. I would leave. I'd go to Los Angeles. I would go to London, you know, and go to different parts of the world to bring in more of the energy of clarity. And then you create, when you're finished with a record, then you make the album cover. All the art is also important because it represents the journey. It represents that, you know, the why you wrote those songs. What came to you during those songs? I mean, being an artist is a really special thing, you know, and I really see it clear. And I would love nothing more than to, you know, maybe down the road, that's my future. I don't know, but grab all the Buddhas, because I really feel, you know, the true artist is a messenger, is a channel and information. But now there's so many, it's just ludicrous, 70,000 uploads a day to Spotify.
A little while ago, I was talking with a broadcaster, and I was talking to him just flat out. I go, you know what pisses me off? And this just happened recently when I investigated, like, bottom line, what do they get from the streaming services? Because I had a young fellow say, well, this is so much better than the 80s when bands had it back then, because now you get the artists producing from their own home, et cetera, et cetera. So I started investigating, and I came to find out. Exactly. I came to find out that there was this young lady in Austria, I believe. She's a violinist. And she has every single month, faithfully, 600,000 downloads. And there are artists that have a lot more. But this young lady has 600,000 downloads faithfully every single month. She gets paid by Spotify 12 euros a month.
Yeah. If anyone knows this game better than I do. And I'm saying, what I'm saying, it's become like a damn scam, okay? YouTube, please make a video. Of course, what do they care? The more videos you put up there, the more commercials that come out.
Yeah.
And if you want your video to be seen, well, I'll tell you what, you better hit some Google ads. And if you hit Google ads, it's all about the big ones are making the money. The Spotify's, the Pandora's, the YouTube. And this is what I'm talking about. This is where the true artists, first of all, there's so many people in the way are making music, and I respect everybody to make music. Please, you should be making music.
Sure.
But, you know, when you have true artists that are struggling to be heard or to be seen, we're actually almost gypping ourselves in a way, because we're losing out on serious beauty information, songs, you know, whatever you want, however you want to can describe it. But there's just too much shit in the way.
Yeah.
I guess, let me just say that.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I've been doing this 30 years. I've traveled the world extensively. I've been on stages, Olympic Stadium to bars. And I got to tell you, my heart is such, I got so much fire in me to keep going, but I've never worked harder in my life.
Yeah.
And I am pretty well known in a lot of places. And I got to tell you, it's a lot of work to break through just the fog of people. There's just so much, so much material and videos, and then there's these, you know, you got so many people that are great on social media. I mean, it's ludicrous.
At times I get sickened and overwhelmed by the amount of releases that are out there by everybody and their nephew who wants to record. And a lot of these people, they rather become famous than become an actual artist.
Right, exactly. Because I will, look, a true artist as myself, okay, I will tell you this, and I've been on the floor several times during this journey, whether I liked it or not. Like, they just pulled the rug on you. All of a sudden, boom, everything goes wrong. What happened? All of a sudden, anything can happen, okay? But you keep going, because why? It doesn't matter if you're living in a mansion or you're sleeping on the curb. You're still creating music, because it's what you do. It's who you are. That's when you're the most happiest. And if you really are truly honest with yourself and you do what you really like doing, you'll be happy and you'll be amazing at it. And life will never let you go or drop you. You may experience, you know, moments of pain, of growing pain, so to speak, what I call it, but they will never throw you to the curb. If you're honest, this is where it gets tricky. I just feel like, you know, so many people, they want to be rock stars. Not everybody's a rock star.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Maybe you're a manager. Well, then why don't you be a manager and be a damn good one, you know, and help the rock stars who they truly are. Because artists need love. They need to be understood. They need to be, there's some artists that are pain in the ass. Let me say that too.
Sure.
You know, who are too cool for school. And then that don't work either. But there's a lot of them there that just need to be. That's what they do. They're like little Buddhas.
Yeah.
We got to treat them, you know, help them and help them reach the goals of where they belong.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Steelheart.
I'm Captain Loggins and you're on a cruise.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
We are back here at Back to the 80s Radio. With us today, we have Steelheart,
Milenko Matijevic.
We were talking about the music business and very lightly, and we talked a lot about what's going on today. But now I want to talk to you about something that I heard from Gina DeFranco, otherwise known as Gina D, the Party Diva. She mentioned this a little bit earlier, that you have a song coming out, and I believe it's related to peace.
Yes, I do. We did release it already, and it's growing. We're building it. It's growing very nicely. I wrote a song called Trust and Love, and it's 2 years in the making. When I started it was right at the pandemic, and I wanted to make a big chorus, so the world can sing it. And what I started, I originally wrote it for the unification, for the peninsula of Korea. I do a lot of work in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I believe it was always some fighting and I'm going to drop this bomb and I'm going to do this. And the human trafficking, and it's just like, oh man, you know, watching the news, and I came by the piano and I sat down at the piano, and it was just like literally the first thing that came out, trust and love, trust and peace. I can't live till I know I'm free. And it was like, okay, well, this is coming too fast, easy. So let me just go with it. So I started writing it, and I wrote it in English, of course. And I put on my website, I put the chorus up, me singing it. And I reached out to all my fans. I said, hey guys, please sing the chorus and send it to me. I don't care if you're good, bad. I don't care. Just give me your soul. Give me your heart and sing it and send it to me. And I got over like close to 350 people that sent me in their vocals. Some sounded great. Some didn't sound so good. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and some even sang into the phone with a video. And sadly, one of the girls I know, she came to my backstage so many times. She had cancer and she passed away during, that was the last thing she sung, you know, my chorus. And I believe she died a week or two after that. So I did, I put everyone on the chorus and the song, it just kept growing. I sang it in Korean and it kept building. And then I was like, wow, you know what? This is even greater than just, than what I'm thinking or what I'm doing. It's just taking me somehow. It just took me to another level, you know?
Yeah.
And then I said, well, why don't I sing it in Croatian? I was born in Croatia. So I sang it in Croatian. And then I said, well, you know, Italy's across the channel there. Why don't I do it in Italian? So I sang it in Italian. And then I was like, okay, I can see what's going on here. And then yeah. Before you know it, then I did Spanish. I did Chinese. I did Portuguese, Hindi, Japanese, Korean, English. There's 10. Russian, and I did Russian as well.
Yeah.
And we released the English version, and you can see the video if you want to see Trust in Love English version or Trust in Love Korean version. The video is pretty intense. We don't really see videos like this anymore. This is like back in the day, we would make these incredible videos, things that are, you know, just really cool videos that people would spend money on. Nobody spends money on videos anymore.
Yeah.
Which I understand because it's all free and it's kind of like crazy, but I don't know. I did it because I wanted to do it. It's my gift to the world. It's my gift to see if I could raise the vibration, you know, because I feel a new world is here. We all know something new is right in front of us.
Yeah.
And we have one person testing our intelligence right now.
There's a quote that I found that came from you that is where you say, quote, "My heart tells me the time is now for us to rise to a new vibration and find peace in ourselves, the respect for each other, and then the understanding will follow effortlessly," end quote.
Yes.
And that is ground shaking. You know, there have been very few songs throughout these decades that can move mountains. And I think this is one of those.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. I really, really hope it reaches the hearts of millions.
All right. This is Steelheart. This is Milenko with Trust in Love. I want you to think about it. Close your eyes because this is an inspirational anthem in support of global peace.
So I can't. you have to own your life. Open your eyes and
I can say is, wow, one of the slogans or mottos for Back to the 80s Radio is introducing the 80s to a whole new generation. And I think that spirit and the soul, the creativity, the compassion for something different, for change, is heard through the song. I can find no better time as now to be playing and singing this song.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm happy that that you see it, and I truly hope that you know, it catches on and the world sees it, because it's honest. Maybe that's the best word to say. It's honest. It's not. I didn't write this with respect to all, you know, everyone's helping Ukraine, and I really respect that.
Yeah.
But I didn't write it to jump on a bandwagon, so to speak. I wrote this 2 years ago. This was 2 years in the making. Just to be released now. And again, like I said, it's something else driving me, something else doing this. It's not just me creating this. You know, there's a lot of elements that I don't even know how came together. The video, there's over 700 people in this video that created this video.
Jeez.
Yeah, I had Robert Altman, Bobby Altman, as my first DP, who is the late Robert Altman's son. I mean, really powerful people came together on this, and that's what it's about. The song is about the unification of people, putting people together and rising to a new vibration. And time is now. It is. This is it. Time's ticking, guys. It's ticking. You need to live.
It feels like a prophetic calling to the world through music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what, and again, like when I was invited into doing the movie, when I'm invited into doing an album of my own, when I'm invited to do The Doors, this was the same thing. It's like, if I'm invited to create this, and I created it, there's a 40-piece orchestra on there. I mean, I'm going to say this, it wasn't premeditated.
Yeah.
It wasn't something, let me do this to be the big hot shot. This is my gift. This is it. You know,
what you just said, that you didn't plan it like many people would think. If you start thinking, oh, well, I'm going to come up with this big, big, humongous hit that's going to unite the world, or would that, it doesn't end up happening. So you're absolutely right. So things had to be there. Destiny had to call on you, and you take the calling for such a time as this, they say.
The thing is, you know, when you do have something like this, it's again, it's really interesting you have a, you know, such a song that's so powerful, and yet, you know, you sit back and you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, you can do the best you can promoting it. It really needs to touch the hearts. And the most difficult thing is for it to actually be heard, to be able to be judged or, you know, accepted or not, you know?
Yeah.
And considering the amount of music and things that are out there, it's going to be very interesting to see how the song develops or breaks through on its own, because it's in life's hands.
There's definitely an ocean of different artifacts that are in this ocean of music. Out of these artifacts, there's always treasure that comes and rises to the top. Let me ask you this on a different note. If you had the opportunity, just one opportunity, one chance, to do something over again back in the 80s or when you were first beginning your journey as an artist, what would you do over?
You know, I would like to do many things over. The thing is this, saying what I would like to do over, there's just way too many other elements in place to say that, because the first thing that hit me right away is I would like to do my childhood over, okay? Because it sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my father was a crazy man. He was always hammered. You know, it was just like grew up walking on eggshells all the time, you know? And I'm writing, and I wasn't allowed to, because originally I started with country music and Johnny Cash, which I love, you know, but then I heard Robert Plant scream, and I was like, okay, this is me, you know? And when I went into that space, my father, it was just a lot of work just to be alive, you know?
Yeah.
And days. And it was just like, I would like to do that over and to give me, you know, give me support. When I see families and fathers and mothers, and they have their kids or whatever, in their music, or they're doing art, or whether they're actors, whatever have you, and they genuinely are giving them support to help guide them and grow, it's so beautiful. It's so powerful, because they build such a strong human being. Honestly, I don't know how I came out the way I did, because I should have been a crazy drunk alcoholic. You know what I mean? But I'm none of those. So I don't know, maybe work backwards, but I will say, I would love to do that over again, but not the way I did it. I would like to have, maybe I'd like to have a father that was more loving and helped me, because I feel I would have evolved and grew and penetrated much quicker than what I did.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Did you ever identify with the video with Dee Snider?
Yeah.
Where the father comes in and says, "What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock."
No, I remember that. I remember that distinctly. But, you know, usually, you know, especially in the 80s and 70s, 80s, you know, if you want to be a musician, immediately everyone thinks that's it. He's going to be on drugs.
Right.
He'll be an alcoholic, and he's going to be a loser. You know, and that's what they're mostly afraid of, you know, and it's the fear factor instead of looking at the talent factor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Steelheart, Milenko. It was a pleasure having you on Back to the 80s Radio, and it was awesome to get to meet you in person at the Troubadour last night at the 27, the show, the Ultimate Tribute Concert. I look forward to having you back on the program to talk 80s, to talk music, to talk rock. I appreciate you being here.
All right, thank you for having me.
You're listening to Back to the 80s Radio. This is Steelheart and their album Wait, with their hit song, We All Die Young.
Risk my soul, taste my land, for my bread, spend my time lost in space. Am I take
commercials, bad. Music, good. Now, with zero commercials. Please help support and send your donation today.
We are going back to the 80s.
This has been the one and only Back to the 80s Radio with Toscano and Chang. Thanks for sharing your Friday with us. Now go out there and do something good for society. Till next week.
Chang here before I release you to another Changtastic weekend and a Changerific week. I want you all to remember, you matter. You stay lifted, you stay gifted. Go out there and stand up for yourself. Stand up for somebody else that can't stand for themselves, and always stand up for something greater than yourself. I want to wish you all an hasta la vista, hasta luego, hasta mañana, adios, arrivederci, sayonara, later bros, niosi, and to all my homies in the barrios all around, orale.
Take me back to the glory days.